credit card debt fell sharply during the COVID shutdowns. Unfortunately, it's becoming a big problem again. Hi, I'm Rob West. Folks cut spending and used stimulus money to pay down credit card debt during the pandemic. But what a difference a year makes. I'll talk about it with Neely Simon today and how you can get help with your credit card debt. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Neely Simon is our guest today. She's a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors, an underwriter of this program, and it's always great to have her with us. Neely, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Rob. It's great to be here.
Well, we love it when you stop by. This is such an important topic, and with interest rates rising now more than ever. And Neely, as you know, one of the few positive outcomes of the COVID crisis was that people paid down credit card debt. But I guess you're here to report that that was short-lived, huh?
That's right. And in fact, the Bankrate survey stated that 46% of cardholders now carry a balance, up from 39% in 2021. The reality is that many of us are using credit cards to make ends meet. And unfortunately, with inflation continuing to grow for the foreseeable future and interest rates being an average of 20% or more, which is the highest they have been in the last 25 years, we are starting to feel the squeeze on our finances. But the good news is most people with debt are now actively strategizing ways to pay off their debt.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Of course, we're seeing sharp increases in home foreclosures, up 115% in 2022. Also, delinquent auto loans now up more than 25%. But credit card debt, Neely, is one area where folks can make real progress and relatively quickly. So tell us about that.
Yes. So if you're struggling to make progress or have fallen behind or just want to seek some options to help with your credit card situation, I would encourage you to explore credit counseling. At Christian Credit Counselors, we offer a debt management plan. Now, it's not a consolidation loan or a settlement. It's a plan that offers you lower interest rates and lower payments, allowing you to pay off your debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. All the terms have been pre-negotiated with the creditors, and our consultation is free.
Yeah, that's really important. And the reason it's my preferred approach to get out of credit card debt is because it's not just a quick fix. My experience is that when you use a program like Christian Credit Counselors, it's going to have a lasting effect. Is that what you've seen too, Neely?
Yes, our program provides encouragement, relief, and enables clients to see the light at the end of the tunnel, knowing that they too can experience financial freedom while being a good steward of the resources God has given them.
No doubt about it. You mentioned the Lord in that. Talk about why this is a biblical approach.
So many of us Christians feel convicted when having debt. We understand that during these times, God is helping us to learn really important lessons and that He forgives us. He wants us to be right so that we can glorify Him. Credit counseling is about paying your debt in full, and in the process, you get to experience the peace and freedom that God wants for all of us so that we can live generous lives.
Neely, they're going to have one fixed monthly payment. They're going to have lower interest rates. And the combination of those two is going to allow them to pay this on average 80% faster. Isn't that right?
That's correct. So not only is more of your money going to pay down the principal, but we also apply the snowball method to our program. So the payment will remain the same throughout the program. When one account gets paid off, it'll get rolled into that other account, really expediting the payoff and getting people out of debt much sooner.
Quickly, for someone who's listening and saying, I don't know if I can fit this payment into my budget, your team will actually work with them on their spending plan, right?
That's correct. Our free consultation consists of working up a comparison estimate, outlining all the benefits and the fees, and then we also walk you through a budget, really helping you to understand your disposable income, offering opportunities to coach, and potentially the debt management plan being a good solution if they struggle with credit card debt.
Incredible. Well, Neely, thanks for stopping by and encouraging our folks that there is a way out of credit card debt and a way that you can pay it in full and honor the Lord at the same time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Neely Simon's been our guest today. She's a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors. You can get more information at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Christians are called to live their life coram Deo. It's a fancy theologian's word for living life as if you're before the Lord's face at all times. Coram Deo means before the face of God. Sometimes we imagine that face to be frowning or glaring at us, especially when we fall into sin. But that's not the case. If we are in Christ, it means we're under His smile. So David's words from 1 Chronicles 16 brings joy. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. In Christ, that face is smiling at us, not frowning. Because in Jesus, our sin has been dealt with. Our reason for fear has been taken care of. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, mm-hmm. but this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian Credit Counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about today financially and help you apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's right, lines are open, 800-525-7000. We, of course, started today by talking to our friend Neely Simon at Christian Credit Counselors. And if you're facing some credit card debt, perhaps it's gotten beyond what you can handle. You're not able to pay it off every month now, and it's beginning to build. That interest rate has been climbing, and you're just kind of wondering, where do I go from here? How do I finally get this debt going in the right direction, that is down, and ultimately get it paid off? We'd love to tackle that with you today, or any other financial question. Again, 800-525-7000. Also on the broadcast today, Jerry Boyer will stop by and give us his take on the markets and the economy after a week of more earnings reports and economic data. Let's head to the phones. Again, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. To beautiful Maine we go. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
What I was wondering is, after I pay my bills and commit to donating to the organizations that I do, I find myself with a little bit of extra cash past my allotted savings. So what I'm wondering is, I do owe about $25,000 in my student loan and about $50,000 on my mortgage. Which one would be best to apply the surplus I have?
Yeah. So take me again through the surplus that you've got right now. Is this just a one-time event, or is this a little bit extra that you have left over at the end of each month?
It's a little bit extra I have each month.
Okay. All right. So after your bills are paid, what is it you have left over?
Probably $3,000.
Okay. And that's $3,000 every month that you have in surplus.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. So you're living modestly. I love that you've resisted the temptation there, Lynn, to allow your expenses to rise to the level of your income, which is often what happens. And so if you can protect that, man, you can really accomplish some of your goals here, which is wonderful. Okay. Run me through the debt that you have that you're considering paying off, the balances and the interest rates.
So the balance on the credit, on the student loan is about $25,000.
Okay.
And I believe it's about a 3.5 interest rate.
Okay.
And I think the house is pretty much the same. It's $50,000 I have left on the house, and it's the interest rate is 3.
Okay. Very good.
Are they both compounded daily, or?
Yeah, they would be handled the same in terms of the interest. So I think, you know, the key here is I'd love for you to get that student loan debt paid off. Reason being, interest rate is slightly higher. It may be higher than 3.5%. I would be surprised if it was that low. But it's also a smaller balance, so you're going to be able to knock that one off quicker, and that's going to give you the motivation, Lynn, to keep going toward the house. If you have an emergency fund already built up, then I'd just go right after that student loan debt. And then at that point, do you have any other, I'll say, near-term goals for your savings? Are you saving for a major purchase, to replace a car with cash, to buy a home, anything like that? Another one?
No, not specifically. The only other thing I was considering is setting up 529 accounts for my nieces and nephews, if that's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone can open and fund a 529 saving plan. That includes students, parents, grandparents, but also friends and relatives. In some cases, it's better to simply make a contribution to a 529 plan owned by the child or one of the parents, especially if the student will be applying for financial aid. Any money they receive to pay for college from anyone other than a parent will be counted as the student's income on the following year's FAFSA, and that could reduce their potential aid package. So I think the key there is just find out if mom and dad have one. If not, perhaps they could open one and then you could fund it. It can only be used for qualified educational expenses if it's, you know, you want the favorable tax treatment. If you'd rather keep it in your name, you could certainly do that for the benefit of the child, and you could fund those accounts. So I think, you know, let me ask about retirement, though. Are you funding a retirement plan at work?
Yeah, I put $27,000 a year in that.
Okay, yeah, so you're maxing that out. Yeah, see, I mean, this is what happens when you've got plenty of surplus, is you can really make some significant progress toward your goals. So I think my priority order would be try to get the student loan debt paid off as quick as you can, which, you know, at your rate, you should be able to do that, you know, in 8 months, and then move right on to the house. Eventually, you'll be debt-free, you know, completely. Obviously, you'll free up that student loan payment, if there is one, if it's not in deferment, and the house payment. Now that's even more surplus that you're going to have on a monthly basis, which you could again use to, you know, fund this 529. I love that you're maxing out the retirement. So now all of a sudden you're, you know, starting to ask the question, how much is enough? And should I accelerate my giving? And, you know, that type of thing. So you're in a really great spot here, Lynn, to do exactly what the Lord's leading you to do.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I really appreciate all of your help.
Absolutely. And thanks for your call today. We appreciate you very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got a few lines open today and perhaps one to deal with the question you're considering. Let's head to Poncho in Pennsylvania. Go right ahead.
Hello. How are you? Good morning.
And, I'm doing great.
God
thanks.
Bless you.
Thank you.
I got a question on tithing. It's Social Security. Now, I paid all my life to Social Security. Now I'm getting my Social Security. Now, do I tithe a tenth on my wife and my security, or how's that work?
Yeah, it's a great question, Pancho, and I appreciate you asking it. Obviously, you want to honor the Lord with what you have received from Him as a gracious gift from Him, and do that by giving back a portion. I love the principle of the tithe, a tenth on the increase. It's a bit more challenging with Social Security, because if you've tithed on the gross amount your whole life, clearly you've tithed already on a portion of that. The challenge is it's going to be very difficult to determine what is your portion of the contribution to FICA taxes, what was your employer's contribution, which came from them, and, you know, what is the gain that was, you know, has been building over time as the Social Security has had use of that money. So my approach is just to say, everything I receive, Social Security, disability, inheritance, wages, you name it, gifts, it's all a gracious gift from God. And this tithe, this proportionate, systematic gift on the increase is just a way I can express my trust in Him, that His provision is sufficient and complete, and that it's a way for me to acknowledge and worship Him and participate in His activity through my giving to my local church. So that's my approach. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do this. Clearly, you've already demonstrated you trust the Lord in this, and you're wanting to honor Him through your giving. So, you know, you could acknowledge that there's a portion of this that's a return of capital to you and deal with that accordingly in terms of the tithe. My approach is not to try to get into that level of division or breaking it down by those differing amounts, but just to tithe on the whole thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm more willing to do it, but my wife's a little scared because I'm not making that much now because I am retired.
Yeah. Well, I think you all need to come to that decision together, make this a journey with God, and just trust Him and watch His faithfulness. But I want you to be on the same page in that. So maybe take some time and pray about it together and then make that decision. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
So delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you today, hear your story, hear what God's doing in your life, and help you connect that to your financial decisions. The number to call with lines open, 800-525-7000. Let me also encourage you to call not only with your questions, but we love those, but also with your testimonies. You know, how has God been at work? How have you seen these principles that we talk about from God's Word displayed in your life? How has it helped you to pay off debt and to give more generously and to think about impacting the next generation, leaving a legacy behind you with your wealth transfer process? How has it helped you think about your savings for the future and how much is enough and even controlling your spending? We'd love to hear those stories as well. We know so many of you have been impacted by the teaching on this program going all the way back to the late Larry Burkett, and you've been applying these principles faithfully for a long, long time, or others may be brand new at this. Whatever it is, share your story with us today. 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. I think we have one of those stories here. Let's head to Arkansas. John, go right ahead, sir.
Yes, I just want to say thank you for all the information that you share with us. I've listened to Dan C. and Larry Burkett and now you. And 2 years ago, I became debt-free. I own my own home. I own two cars. I have a stock portfolio, and because I'm debt free, I'm able to give considerably more than I used to give to my church and to other groups and even individuals. it's been a joy to my wife and I to be able to share with others out of the abundance that we have.
That's incredible. John, I love that testimony, and I love that you've been doing this for a long time. It's been faithfulness over decades, going back to Larry Burkett. A couple of questions for you, and what an encouragement to the people listening today. What did you do to be able to pay off all of this debt? What was the key to being able to have the margin to be able to accomplish the things you have?
Well, we raised five kids, but we did it on a frugal income, and we've never gone out and splurged. I think the only thing that we've ever gone out and splurged was shortly after we became debt free. We cashed in a 401k, and that 401k actually helped us to become debt free. And we took a cruise to the Caribbean with a gospel group.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, part of the role of money is that it's a tool, and we use that not only to accomplish God's purposes in giving and paying down debt, but also for enjoyment. We see that in 1 Timothy, that we're to enjoy what God has given us, to build relationships and build community, in your case, with other believers. Go ahead and finish your thought there. I think I interrupted you.
My retirement income is enough to pay our bills and everything, our local bills that we have. But I'm an Uber driver, and that being an Uber driver has helped us to give out of our abundance to, we've helped some people locally just out of the pocket type thing. And we've increased our giving to the church, to a Christian college, and it's just a joy to be able to say that we're able to help.
Yes. Yes.
That's
John,
the key. We're
if
able
I were
to help others.
Yeah, and that is the key. You're exactly right. If I were, and I know you haven't probably calculated and tracked how much you've given over the years, but I suspect you have some idea. If I were to tell you when you were just starting out that you would have been able to give unto the Lord what you've given to this point in your life, would you be surprised? Has God surprised you at what you've been able to do?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the things that we're enjoying doing. We are helping in a child sponsorship program.
Yes,
we have a child down in Nicaragua that we're helping to sponsor, and then a child in Romania that we're helping. We give in the sponsorship program, we give $30 a month per child, and we're helping two children. If we're being told that if these children did not have sponsors, their father, who is a national pastor, might have to seek secular work rather than working to support the church.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. Well, John, I appreciate so much your testimony today, my friend. What an encouragement this has been to me, but also I know to those who are listening today. You are the evidence of a faithful steward, and I know you wouldn't be quick to take credit from that. I can just hear that in your voice. You would give that credit to the Lord. But what you're demonstrating is the result of following God's financial principles. When we order our lives in such a way, around the wisdom from the Bible, living within our means, avoiding debt and trying to get out of debt completely, having goals, giving generously, living with contentment and holding what we have loosely, not getting caught up in the comparison trap with envy or greed or materialism. The fruit of that is we get to participate in God's activity. Listen to the joy in John's voice as he describes what he's able to do to support children and pastors and the work of his church and so many other things. It's not that we're going to be without any difficulties when we follow God's plan, but we put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. And here's the reality, and you heard it from John, giving, it's the good life. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Your questions, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit FaithFi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
God owns it all. We're stewards. Money is a tool to accomplish His purposes, and the wisdom from the Bible applies to everything we do with money. I know it can seem confusing. It's seemingly endless opportunities to use God's money, and yet we can reduce it all to really five uses of money: the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe for debt and for taxes, and the money we grow for the future. And God's Word speaks to every bit of it, and that's what we talk about this on this program each day. We've got, looks like, two lines open, 800-525-7000 for your questions and your testimonies of God's faithfulness. Back to the phones we go to Virginia. Bill, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you very much. I have a question. We have no debt except for our house that we live in and then one rental property. And it's being rented right now. So my wife and I are having a discussion on which to pay off first. My opinion is I'm 65. I retired in 5 years. I would like to have this house paid off because it's the one I live in. And as long as our renter's in the rental, pay that off later and just take whatever we save from once this is paid off, just keep applying it to that. And there's some discussion about maybe it's better the other way around, but I'd really rather get the one paid off that I'm living in.
Yeah.
So what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, Bill, well, at the risk of getting on your wife's bad side, I'm going to agree with you. I love the idea of you and your wife owning your home free and clear and being completely debt-free. I really look at that rental property as a business. I mean, that's what it is. You're operating a business. It just happens to be that you own a piece of real estate and you have tenants in there and they're paying you rental income and you're using that income to service the debt. And that's, in doing so, growing, you know, increasing your equity and in no time at all through their payment of that mortgage, and then also your acceleration of that once you have more margin by paying off your home, you know, you're building that asset, which is great. But I look at that as a business unit, and as long as that business is performing well and they're helping you to service that debt and keep the proper reserves and the taxes and the insurance paid, I want your financial situation, which is really your primary residence and the rest of your financial life, including your savings and your retirement and, you know, your ability to manage and pay off debt and your giving. I want that as strong as I possibly can get it. And if for some reason something catastrophic happened and doesn't sound like it, you know, will, even though ultimately God is in control. And I say that because it sounds like your financial foundation is so solid. But if something catastrophic happened, I'd be more inclined to have, you know, that rental property taken away from me through foreclosure than your primary residence. So I think for that reason, I'd focus on your house. I love the idea that you can get that paid off by retirement. That's going to get your lifestyle expenses as low as possible, and then you can go to work on that rental property.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Can I ask one more quick question?
I'd be happy to answer another one. Go ahead.
Well, just one quick one. At our age, around 65, are I bonds something we should look at, or is that just for someone who's much younger?
It's not necessarily that it's for somebody who's younger as it is just the time horizon on the money. I mean, we're in an unusual period right now where the I-bond interest rate at 6.89% is high. It was really high. It was at 9.6, you know, until November of last year. But that's temporary. It's going to be coming down. So if you've got $10,000 that it's outside of a retirement account and it's not a part of your emergency fund because you can lock it up for a year, that's a great rate. And I think the new rate that we'll get in, you know, in May will still be good, but it's going to be lower than it is today. And it will continue heading back down to where it normally is, which is not a very attractive rate. So it's a temporary opportunity. So I would think about money that you have there where there's a 1 to 3 year time horizon. You don't want to take any risk. That's probably the money for the I bond, but not really anything beyond that.
Okay, but you can't take it out within a year or two. Don't you have to wait 5 years?
No, you have to wait 1 year. If you take it out after a year, because that's the minimum, but before 5 years, you pay a small penalty equal to 3 months' worth of interest. But you can get it back after a year, redeem it.
Okay, so within 5 years, I could just leave it in for that amount of time.
Yes, but I think at some point in the next couple of years, you're not going to be as excited about the interest rate they're paying, you know, today, just because I think inflation's going to continue to come down. The Fed is really focused on that right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, let me ask you one quick question. What are you most excited about when you hit this next season of life for retirement? What do you think God has for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know. I like to try to think about what I might do for retirement, but I may decide to continue working for a while longer. I do some teaching in the church, but you know, I haven't really thought about it that far.
Yeah, well, I would make that a matter of prayer. You know, God created us to be workers, to be productive. You know, this modern concept of retirement at 65 is a really something that we don't see in Scripture. You know, you think about John in his 90s still writing in the Scriptures, and Polycarp from the church in Smyrna. The Bible says, you know, he was in his upper 80s when he was martyred. So I think we need to be always thinking about, God, what do you have for me in this next season, even if I transition away from paid work? Well, listen, all the best to you, Calvin. I know that's still years down the road, and glad you could be a part of the program today. God bless you, sir. Let's head to Alabama. Hey, Calvin, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
The reason for my call is I'm concerned about my mother. She's 83, and she, and we're concerned that her property, she owns her home, and debt-free and everything, and you know, what's going to happen to it after she passes. She made out a will, made me the executor.
All right.
She put in there that we are to sell the property and split it between the three surviving kids.
Okay.
And in talking about this with other people and all, we were told I probably need to put it into a trust in, or get it into my name, so that there's no interference from you know, the governmental authorities. And then that posed the same question with my home, because I have one daughter that's married, and we have one grandson, and I'm 59, my wife is 60, so we're right there at that age of trying to, you know, figure out what we're going to do. We want to do some traveling, and our home's paid for as well. We don't owe anything on it, and how should I arrange my home where my daughter will get it without having to have any hassle? I was told we would pay taxes on my mom's place, and I just don't know how that kind of stuff works. And
so it's a good question. You know, here's the reality is you can absolutely pass the home in the will, and the benefit there is the cost basis of the home will be stepped up to the market value as of the date of death, which means if you all then turn around and sell it, the kids, there's not going to be any capital gains or any inheritance tax on that, because you'd be under the $12 million exemption for inheritance tax. And with that stepped up basis to the date of death and then a sale following, you're not going to have any capital gains. So taxes aren't the issue. The main reasons folks put a house in a trust is they want their family to be able to inherit it without having to go through a long and potentially expensive probate court process. It's just passed privately shortly after their death. And then the second reason would be planning for incapacity. So some folks want to be able to handle the assets in the event someone becomes incapacitated, and then the trustee can step in prior to their death. Those would be the two main reasons you'd want to do that. And if those are important to you, then just connect with a godly estate planning attorney, set up a trust, and transfer the house into the name of the trust. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Are you running away from God? Lots of things can cause people to turn their back on God. Maybe you feel God let you down. Maybe you got tangled in sin, or maybe you just got busy with life. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son in the Bible? When this wayward son returned home, he was met with open arms by his dad. That's the way your heavenly Father feels about you. Come back to God. He's waiting for you. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We always love to hear your questions and your stories as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we go back to the phones, it's Friday. Our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by in the last segment of the broadcast each Friday to reflect on the week's activity, market action, and economic data. Jerry is the author of The Maker versus The Takers. He's a columnist at World Opinions, and he's our resident economist here at Faith and Finance. Jerry, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, my friend.
Well, tell me what you're thinking about this week, Jerry, and I guess I'll put a little caveat on that, financially speaking.
Financially speaking, I'm thinking that it was one of those weeks moved by Fed sentiment, by what people thought the Fed was going to do, because the chairman of the Fed on Monday made some remarks basically saying, well, this inflation, you know, it's going to be hard to get it to go away, and boy, that jobs report on Friday was really good. Well, not good, actually, because we don't want a strong jobs market, because we think the jobs market, you know, that low unemployment causes inflation. And so we're probably going to need to slow this economy down some more. You know, stop it. You kids are getting out of control with all your hiring and growing. We need to slow things down in order to beat inflation. And that means that the Fed would be a seller and a contractor of the money supply. And that's why markets acted the way they did. That's why they were down. And when people sell bonds and buy stocks, it means they're optimistic. They'll take the chance on stocks rather than the fixed, you know, the sure thing. If they sell stocks and they buy bonds, it means they're scared. They want the sure thing, you know, the fixed income, the guaranteed interest payment. But when both of those things go down, when there's a net selling of stocks and bonds, that almost always means that that central bank, that they're trying to get ahead of the central bank, and also the central bank itself as a seller. So, yes. And that's what we had this week. We had stocks and bonds both go down, not equally, We didn't have all stocks go down equally. The interest rate sensitive stocks, like the growth stocks, like the NASDAQ, went down more than the, you know, the S&P or the Dow Jones. So it's pretty consistent with the pattern that the dollar strengthened a little bit, because if the Fed's going to contract the money supply, that makes the dollar a little bit more valuable compared to other currencies. We pretty much had your standard. This is a week where the Fed says it's going to focus on fighting inflation rather than one of those weeks where the Fed says, no, instead we're going to focus on avoiding a recession.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense. Jerry, obviously earnings reports continue to pour in. Has that been about as expected, or are you seeing any surprises there just kind of as you look over the whole landscape of earnings?
I'm not seeing a lot of surprises. I mean, there are forecasters whose job is to forecast earnings, and so you're not seeing a lot of beats or, you know, big beats or big misses. What it is telling us is that earnings are down. Now, that's not unexpected. You and I have talked about this on the quarterly webinars, et cetera, that, you know, we had all these nice bounce back effects when you had something like, you know, the economy was in a coma under COVID, and a bunch of inventory accumulated, you know, in the warehouses. Well, when the companies sell that, that's a lot of profit growth. Because you can't call it profit until you sell it. But we've done that now. You know, we spent last year buying and selling, you know, buying widgets on eBay and Amazon. That's not happening so much now. So that ability to have earnings growth, not based on actual growth, but based on delayed activity because of the economy shutdown, that's over now. And so now we're finding it really hard to get profit growth. So the third quarter growth was a lot less than the second quarter growth, which was less than, you know, had been for a year or so. And it looks like there's a reasonably good chance when all the earnings reports are in and they're all added up together for this quarter, we could actually be negative. It could be negative profit growth year over year. And if not negative, at least close to zero. So, you know, that's another sign the economy is slowing down. And tax receipts are down, not because the government cut taxes, but because we have less profit and less income, when you adjust for inflation. So pretty much, you know, the multitude of counselors that are speaking to us through various markets are saying the economy is slowing down because the Fed's intentionally going to slow it down because that's how they think you beat inflation.
Yeah, yeah. Well said, Jerry. Last question before we let you go. Give us just a quick snapshot of what you've been up to lately with regard to corporate engagement. I know a big part of what you spend your time on is voting proxies, participating in shareholder meetings, representing, in many cases, the Christian investors and their values to company leadership. What have you been up to in that area lately?
Well, there's a lot of focus on getting ready for the shareholder season, which we're really going to enter into about a month, and seeing what's coming down the pike. And what we're going to see a lot of is that there are a lot of activists who are frustrated by the fact that Roe versus Wade was reversed, and that states now have been given back their constitutional responsibility to make laws regarding abortion, and they're doing it, and they're protecting the unborn. So they lost in the courts, and they're losing in many of these state legislatures, and so now they're trying to win in the boardroom. And so there's a whole number of pro-abortion proposals. There's different types. They're always throwing different kind of curveballs. Pro-abortion proposals. There's going to be some things which are pressing companies to divest from states that have pro-life laws. The other is going to be to defund any organization or any politician who's pro-life as inconsistent with their stated values of gender equality. Of course, abortion isn't gender equality. Abortion kills baby boys and baby girls, but that's how they're framing it. And so there's a lot more coming down the pike, but I think for this audience, that's probably the topic that we'd be most interested in. Now, one of the really bright spots here is the biggest proxy service. So this is very important, very influential. Switch their position. In the past, they have recommended yes votes on these pro-abortion resolutions. Earlier this year, they recommended a no vote on Costco's pro-abortion resolution, and it looks like they've switched their position on this, which I think is a huge victory, which goes to show you that, you know, if you show up and try to persuade, it actually works sometimes. We shouldn't give up in advance. Being there in the room, speaking wisdom, can actually have an impact.
Christians can have a seat at the table through our ownership of these companies as we deploy capital. And Jerry, we appreciate you representing that voice. And I know you want to encourage others to do the same, right?
Oh, absolutely. If you're an owner of stock, you have a vote. You are the final authority. You choose the board of directors, and the board of directors chooses the CEO, and the CEO chooses the policy. You're two levels above the CEO. And yeah. Stop thinking like we're grasshoppers in their sight and they're giants. Vote your proxies and talk to your advisor about voting your yeah. proxies. If they don't know how, have them talk to me and I'll help them do it. But enough of the complaining from a distance, enough of, oh, it's all so terrible. You know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, if it is, then grab the handbasket and pull it back. And one of the ways to do that in corporate life is to attend the annual meeting or at the very least vote, just like you do in civil affairs, you do in politics, you vote if you're trying to be a responsible citizen. Well, it's time to be a responsible shareholder citizen, too.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Jerry. Well, we always appreciate your insights, my friend. Thank you for the work you do on the front lines every day and for bringing us up to speed on all of it along the way. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
All right. Jerry Boyer, our resident economist, he joins us each Friday with his insightful analysis on the markets and the economy, and we always look forward to our time together. All right, let's finish our program today with your questions to Texas. Dan, you've been really patient, sir. Go ahead.
You answered part of it earlier about the stepped-up basis. My mother is not in good health, and so we expect her to pass sometime this year. Her question was, whether she should give me a house that's in Virginia or whether she should wait and just let it pass in the will.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
it's better to go through the will, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's right. It is better to bequeath the property in your will because that will then give the beneficiary, in this case you, a stepped up basis to the date of death, and you would likely not have to pay any capital gains if you then turn around and sell the property.
Are there issues about having probate in two different states, or is it better just to, do we have to do it that way? Or?
Well, the only other option, if you don't want to go through
her majority of her property is here, and there's a small property there.
Yeah, I'd probably sit with an estate attorney just to talk through this particular question, Dan. One option would be if you don't want to go through the probate court process, you can avoid all of that by putting the house into a trust. So a trust would have to be created, and then the property or properties would have to be retitled into the name of the trust, and then it would pass outside of probate. So if that was important to you, that would be one way. And then, you know, there's also an opportunity for the trustee in that case to step in and manage the asset in the trust or assets if the owner the grantor is incapacitated and can no longer communicate or handle their affairs. So that might be worth talking to an estate attorney about to get a legal opinion on that. There'd be some costs there, probably $1,500 to $2,000, but may give you some peace of mind to know that, you know, everything is going to pass efficiently and quickly and outside of the probate courts. Hope that's helpful to you, Dan. Thanks for calling. You know, folks, so thankful for everything we have a chance to talk about every day. I love your stories and really grateful for the testimonies we heard today about God's faithfulness and the opportunity to be generous with God's resources when we live according to His wisdom and priorities. That's the good life, folks, when we are able to have contentment and hold God's money loosely and identify the needs of the people on our path and then give it generously. I hope today's been an encouragement to you. And as we round out our broadcast week, just know how much we appreciate you. Be sure to check out our website at faithfi.com. If this has been a blessing to you, you can click the give button and support the ministry charitably. We'd appreciate that. You can also download our app at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and also Pat Montague, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.